this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry. My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
Way to keep it classy, Canada.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Make them pay.
With chemistry, you can melt ice. You can't control the pup if you don't control the pup. The button stopped working. I've had to press it so many times.
Toothpaste, Fenris wolf, and rotations per minute.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 47 of Three in the Box, the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. This episode is being recorded Tuesday, October 14th, 2014. This is Aaron, and in tonight's episode, we talk about the great start to the Wild season, extending young players, and the NHL's scheduling struggles. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And to my other side is Jive.
Good evening.
And before we get into things, just like to remind you to follow us on Twitter. We are at Three in the Box. We live tweet the games, and
we try to.
Yeah, no, we try to be.
No play by play. More color commentary, I'd say.
Yeah, more. Yeah. Well, we do break things down, so to speak, from time to time. You know,
and break things more is a better wording.
We urge people not to be avs holes. You know,
avs hole, dude. That's such a great hashtag. Avs hole. We don't get to see him again until February.
Right. I mean,
kind of blew our load with that one in that avs hole.
Well, there are so many. Just following the game on Twitter, and you know, there's so much salt between Wild fans and Avs fans.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
You know, people calling for Cook's head, and you know.
Hockey fans are special.
What's really great about that, though, is the fact that the Denver Post predicted the Wild to win the Cup.
That is just sweetness, really.
Isn't it? That's awesome.
So how about we get into the topic of the week, right?
Let's do this.
So, yes, as we alluded to, the Wild sweep the home-and-home season opener against the Avs, winning 5-0 and then 3-0. In Game 1 at the X, the Wild looked basically unbeatable. They were putting on a clinic.
Unstoppable.
Unstoppable. While the Avs looked like they were still in preseason form.
Stoppable.
Very stoppable. In Game 2, Colorado, they showed way more life, but still failed to put on anything on the board. And plus, Kemper looked phenomenal.
By blocking the net, I really think you helped your team.
You know, particularly in the second game, the Avalanche tried to turn the game into a physical battle, including Eric Johnson's dirty attempt at elbowing former fellow Gopher Eric Hall.
Well, he wasn't really a fellow, but
Tucker,
you know. Well,
competitive violent. Hey, that's why you're here.
Same alma mater.
Yes.
Yeah, same alma mater.
Once a gopher, always a gopher, right?
Yeah, so, you know, we'll just go after your head.
Right.
Ironically, the Wilds page has Matt Dumba that he went after.
Well,
I don't understand that.
Was it the Wild page?
No, it was the Wilds website, yeah.
Not. Are you talking the box score?
Yeah.
Well, I think the box scores are collected by the NHL, though.
Well, so then the NHL screwed up.
Yeah, go figure.
Oh, I guess the Wild. You know where else the NHL? Well, we won't even get into where right. The NHL screws up.
But so with this two great games of the Wild, you know, great wins, and obviously, as I alluded to, there's some animosity between the teams and even the fans of the two teams. Is this a Wild versus Avs matchup finally the Wild's first real rivalry?
I think so. I'm going to go with it because, I mean, it's the only team that's still from the Northwest Division that we're currently in a division with.
Yep.
You know, and we played them first round of the playoffs last year. I think Patrick Waugh has to be the guy who hates the Wild the most right now because, I mean, we ended his career as a goalie and his first season as a coach, we took him out too. I'm not gonna let that one down. I'm not, definitely not. But I think that this is gonna be our newest rivalry. I would love to see one back with Chicago again, like the old North Stars days. But I don't see that happening right away. And I'd like to see Dallas as a rival, just because it's old Minnesota versus new Minnesota. But I don't necessarily see that happening right away too.
And I mean, I have to agree. There's a definitely. I mean. You could feel it even with the playoff atmosphere last year that, you know, there's definitely a sort of chemistry kind of building here that, you know, these two teams are, they're out for a little bit of blood against each other. Oh. You know, in the end of the day, everybody usually shakes hands and in sportsmanship. But I think that, yes, this is so far. I mean, even with attempts, like, we have played, like, the Blackhawks in a couple of series, like in the playoffs, and we see them throughout the season. But, yeah, I guess this is the closest we've gotten to a rivalry type thing since probably, you know, back when we had a little bit of a tiff going on with Vancouver.
And see, I would go further and say, you know, the quote-unquote rivalry we had with Vancouver, or even, you know, the one we want with Dallas, it was all one-sided.
For the most part,
they didn't. The other side really didn't care.
No, it's much like a Vikings fan and the Packers fan. They care more about the Bears,
right?
Than they do the Vikings. Bears, unless they're, you know, Western, because then they have to deal with Vikings,
right?
Fans.
Then if they're border on that Western border, they're
right.
Then they're a little different.
But I look at it as, you know, Vancouver fans never cared about Wild.
No, you know, and they always had Calgary
right.
as a rival, and they still do.
Yeah.
And I mean, I see that happening more. I think Colorado doesn't really have anybody. Neither does the Wild
nope.
with where they're sitting at. So I think this might actually be the first real good rivalry between the teams.
So are you saying the Wild are kind of like the middle child and they're just like clamoring for attention somewhere?
Well, I think Colorado is too, though.
Yeah. Well, and until the Wild win something, Chicago is not going to take them seriously as far as
a
real rival, you know. How many series have the Wild beat Chicago in? Zero.
Zero.
So
we took like one or two games from them.
Right, but until the Wild are throwing salt in their wounds, yeah.
I think this might be the season to do it, though.
Well, here's hoping. I mean,
yeah.
If not this year, when? You know.
I mean, because I guess if you look at it, Chicago and St. Louis would be the two after the North Stars had left for Dallas. Chicago basically picked up St. Louis as that rival. So, I mean,
well, in like Chicago and St. Louis, that goes even deeper.
That goes
the
back.
Cubs and the Cardinals. That's always like a classic one.
Right.
There. And really we're not geographically, we're not that close to any of these teams really.
No.
Maybe North Dakota will get a team from the NHL.
Not gonna happen.
Wisconsin, possibly.
Hey, I wouldn't say that though. Too soon.
With
all the oil money.
Nodak's, yeah, it's growing out there. And you never know.
Edmonton's gonna move to Nodak.
There you go.
We'll have the Nodak Oilers.
you know, when Nodak has to finally get a vice squad because the prostitution is picking up so rapidly, they might get a hockey team too.
Yeah, but it's all men with disposable money. Okay, yeah, maybe a hockey team would be perfect.
See?
There.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
You never know. So, well, with that, and other things, I mean, so the Wild, they did awesome. They won their first couple of games, right?
Yeah, Kemper actually, you know, Kemper looked good. I would say that the goals that I saw were pretty goals, I mean, for the most part.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, Kemper, he is holding his own in the net there. I mean, and what week wouldn't be complete without a little bit of talk about some goalies, right? We're Minnesota Wild fans. We're always concerned about the goalies.
Right.
But Kemper, I mean, fresh off of that new contract, certainly trying to prove that he's worth it. What do you guys think? Has Kemper shown that he's ready to be the Wild's top goaltender and go for it?
I'm going to say, well, the first two games were great. The first game he wasn't challenged in. And then plus he still scares the living bejesus out of me when he's puck handling.
Right.
Like, when he's behind the net, it's like, I don't know why, but he seems like slower than molasses.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if it's just confidence or hubris.
I think because of his height and his lankiness, maybe, it might seem more lumbering and more...
Right.
Like,
well, and yeah. Honestly, it reminds me of when Harding was first coming up. He had the same kind of thing where he'd want to go play the puck
behind the net and wasn't there wasn't a sense of urgency when he was doing that. Well, you don't want to be urgent and rush things and make mistakes. You have to be getting back to your net.
Definitely not a Brodeur.
Right. No.
You're called the goaltender for a reason. You know? I mean, you're supposed to obviously be covering the net.
Well, okay, so...
But that being said, as much as I don't think he was very challenged much, I still think he's, at this point, a better goaltender than Nick Backstrom.
Well, I mean, we haven't seen Backstrom since, what, January?
Well, we saw him some preseason games, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, he is what he is, but yeah, I agree. I don't know if I trust the guy. Conversation that I had with some people I know outside of here this past weekend is, you know, we're not going to see a Brodeur anymore. We're not going to see a goalie playing 70 games a season. You know, if you see him play 50, that's going to be about top.
It's just like all the other sports.
Baseball, pitchers.
Baseball, yeah. You get a new pitcher damn near every inning.
So
football, they got the running backs, you know.
Okay.
No longer do you see a running back play the whole game.
So you say that. When are they going to start doing, like, reliever goalies? So, like, mid-game, we start switching them out.
You bring in the closer.
Yeah, that's when they're down by four goals.
Right.
So that being said, though, I mean, do we have an effective backup goalie? If this is the way everything is going and Kemper is our number one and he plays maybe 50 games out of the year, who's going to do the other 30?
That's going to have to be Backstrom, right?
Currently.
At this point, we got, Harding likes to break his foot or something like that. So,
I mean, that's
pretty much our option.
I mean, that's going to be the thing is when he gets healthy, that's going to put the Wild brass in. Maybe it'll be a good thing because then it'll be hey, we can get rid of Backstrom at this point.
Right.
But Backstrom's not performing, or we say, hey, Harding, you're done at the end of the season anyway. Sorry, but, that's when the cookie crumbles.
But that's the other thing is after this year, Harding's a free agent, I believe.
Yep.
So,
Probably will not be around next year. I'm just predicting right now.
Well, yeah, I don't think so.
I think that's a fairly good guess. So does that mean that, Backstrom and Kemper are our two goalies?
Well, Backstrom is still locked up for another couple of years.
I mean,
or do you try getting rid of Backstrom and bringing somebody else up?
But that's tough because he's got a no movement clause. So you have to have him buying off. You have to have another team that's willing to take him on as an older player at this point. And if he's not performing
at that money.
And if he's not performing at this point, who's going to want him?
But with that,
can we put him on waivers and send him to Iowa?
With that, when you take a team though and you put the pieces together like the Minnesota Wild have for this year, you don't put these pieces together expecting to go out in the first round of the playoff
game. No, absolutely not.
And one of the pieces that you're going to need to get you through deep into the playoffs is solid goaltending.
Definitely.
It's unknown.
Well, Kemper was our guy first round of the playoffs.
Agreed.
You know,
but you have to have something else there. It's usually a decent goalie tandem that's going
to. But now when you get to the playoffs.
Playoffs, you ride the hot hand.
You ride it and you just stick with that one guy. You generally, if you're switching goalies, that means your season's screwed and you're grasping at straws.
Well, if you're switching goalies, it should be because you want to rest your main guy.
Get fresh legs.
But in the playoffs, you got so many days off in between, you shouldn't have a need to...
Playoffs are a whole nother season, though. I mean, that's a completely different deal. The teams that end up winning the cup, you hardly ever see them switching out their goalies from game one of the first series to game seven or what have you of the Stanley Cup final.
Right.
It's usually the same goalie that you're riding.
Okay. So even so, to make it to the playoffs, you're saying still that basically we're going to be looking at Backstrom playing about 30 games, right?
Yeah.
One would think.
So and if his record, doesn't... say benefit the Wild. Are you sure that's what they're willing to sit on? I mean, at this point, if they've put all the other pieces in place, put all this money on the table, why would they sit on a goalie like that instead of making a move for?
Well, and see that's
something,
and that's where I go. I think they're gonna let things kind of play itself out. see how hard he is when he comes back.
Yeah.
And see where Backstrom's at that point. You know, Backstrom says he's healthy, says the abdominal stuff isn't affecting him anymore. He's had a couple surgeries on the hernias and what have you. You know, maybe he's back to being okay. And if not, Harden comes along and you've got an out, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe they're just waiting for things to play out. I mean, there's nothing they can really do at this point unless they want to bring in Briz.
That's what I'm opening the
petition
for.
I want Briz.
I'm going to put a petition out there to bring back Briz.
Let's go out to change.org and make a petition for Obama to give us Briz back.
a presidential order to bring back our goalie.
So, well, that said, I mean, right now, I guess we don't have anything to really worry about or complain about, really, about our goaltending situation. Harding started us off on the season, two solid outings with two shutouts.
Kemper.
Did I say Harding?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, man. It's that Tanya Harding syndrome coming back.
Here, hold my beard and watch this.
So, yeah. But, yes, Kemper, two solid outings, so a couple shutouts there for us. And, I mean, really, so the Wild got this great start, right?
Yeah.
This great start. And wait for it. Do you feel the excitement waning away?
Oh, for like those 5 days off?
Yeah, the five-game period in there. There's some teams, before the Wild play their third game of the season, there's several teams that will have already played their first full five games, you know?
That's quite
they could
ridiculous.
Potentially already be two games ahead, even if the Wild stay undefeated.
Yeah. Isn't that hold on. What is it? Ludicrous that I'm looking for?
Yeah.
Did you see that ludicrous display last night?
Right.
You know, that is pretty ridiculous, the fact that they got this much time off after doing a home-and-home in what, 3 days?
Well, it's crazy. Yeah. They play four games between the 9th and the 19th.
Yeah.
And then they play five games over the next 8 days
right
after that.
Hit it hard.
They're all playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough schedule, and it doesn't get any better in November for the Wild.
No.
I mean, we knew that because we're in a tough
division. We're in a tough division. It's how it's going to be.
But, you know,
know,
you would think they'd be able to, like, space these games out a little bit better.
Have you not realized Gary Bettman does not like Minnesota?
Oh, Bettman's got it out for us.
Hockey fans are special.
I'm blaming Bettman. Yeah. Whether it's his doing or not, I'm still blaming Bettman.
That's kind of like blaming Norm Green. Any way you cut it, that's a pretty safe bet. You know?
He's got to be involved somehow, right?
My dog died. I'm blaming Norm Green.
Where's your homework? Norm Green ate it.
Perfect. So, that said, do you guys think this is actually going to affect the Wild, you know, when they come back in and open it up against, what do we got, Anaheim next year? So,
you know, Anaheim's getting some practice in right now. Anaheim's always been a Wild killer too.
That's true.
Now,
so do you think that's the Wild's momentum here is going to be lost?
I don't think so. I know they went out to Cali today, so I mean they're going to be out in Cali acclimating to the weather and the crappy ice,
taking in some sun.
Vitamin
D is good for you.
Yeah, you know.
We don't get that up in Minnesota here.
I don't know how it's going to do for those Finns. They might. can you go on the IR with sunburn?
A baked Finn.
A baked Finn.
What's really crazy, though, is that the game on Friday is going to be the home opener for the Ducks.
Oh.
Ooh,
that's
yeah,
their first
that's
time home
be,
this season already.
Right, yeah.
That's going to be a tough game then for the Wild because Anaheim, I mean, especially at the pond, they've always killed the Wild.
Oh, yeah.
Although there's no Koivu on Anaheim this year.
No Koivu and
no
brotherly love.
And our favorite player in the world is going to be there.
Oh, Heater. Daddy. Mother effing Heatley.
Clap bombs. Oh, yeah. Provided he's not injured. I know he was hurt.
All-star.
I know he was injured in the preseason. I don't know if he's doing any better at this point, but
you know, sorry, man, I hate to do this to you, Aaron, but you know, that's like another ex Minnesota player that tends to get injured a lot out in California, who the Wild will not be seen on Sunday.
Healy's actually been relatively healthy, if you think about it, though.
This is true.
You know, he's not like Havlat
or Gabrick,
and that's who I was referring to. One of the upcoming games, the Wild will not see Gabrick play against them.
Right.
As he's out for an indefinite period of time.
Imagine that.
weren't you saying there was a Reddit feed about that where it was like Minnesota fans are like, eh. New York fans are like, eh.
Columbus fans are like, eh.
And the L.A. fan was like, oh, so this is what it's like to have Gabrick on your team.
Yeah.
And actually, Healy is on the IR right now, so we might not see him. Yeah. But,
so.
All right, so yeah, I think the Anaheim game is going to be a little rough, like I said, just because they've always had a tough time at the pond out there.
Yeah.
So,
okay, so they're going to have a tough time. They might not have the momentum. Even so, they've got these games scheduled like this. Later on down the road in the year, when other teams have already had, you know, an extra five games under their belt, and the Wild are still, you know, five games short of that, they're obviously going to have to be crunching these things in at that later point in the season. They're probably not going to be as fresh. You know, that's when the injuries start to come around, is later on in the season.
You know, there's two ways to look at this. Either A, you can look at it going, they're going to have these games condensed. They're going to be in game shape going into the playoffs, and whereas all the other teams are going to be kind of taking it easy a little bit, you know, they're going to be in game shape. So it might help them out. On the other hand, you know, like you said,
if you're trying to heal injuries, or
it could beat them down and absolutely kill their chances in the playoffs.
All right.
So I guess time will tell what's going to happen depending on, you know, how healthy the players are at that point, who we're playing at the end of the season, and if they're just out to throw some elbows and injure us just to screw us over.
All right.
Well, I guess the question I really have is, and this is kind of on the sidetrack, but, do we agree with Yo starting Kemper again? I mean, he obviously had two great first games.
Right.
But if we're talking splitting the duties up, and especially in a place that might be hostile as it is, do we want to throw Kemper out there and let him possibly be fed to the wolves? Or do you put someone, Backstrom, who's been there, you know, played, he started 16 games against Anaheim.
Let him get beat down anyways?
Maybe. I disagree with Yo's decision. I would have rather put Backstrom in, especially having the 5 days off in between games, because now basically you're going to have almost a week and a half before Backstrom even sees a puck from an opposing team.
And we don't know. You know, Yo could still make the decision to start Backstrom.
I think he's made Anaheim.
It fairly clear that Kemper's his man, yeah. So,
right. That means it's likely if Kemper starts and doesn't get a shutout against Anaheim, that you got Backstrom starting against L.A.
That I can see that happening.
And I guess I'd rather have Kemper start against L.A. and save him against
the previous champions.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, L.A. is not looking like the Stanley Cup defenders right now.
True.
Yeah, but they're their first time they won the Cup. They started off really slow. I mean, they even fired their coach.
Well, the first time, they barely made it into the playoffs. Right. I mean, they made it in by, what, like 1 point? And they were the number 8 seed. And
so we shouldn't take their slow start lightly, I guess is what I'm really thinking.
They still got a lot of talent on that team.
Yeah.
So,
you know, speaking of talent, not to totally change subjects, but speaking of talent, the Wild just picked up some great talent. extended some talent here. Jonas Brodin signed a 6-year, $25 million extension. That breaks out to 2.5 the first year, 4 the next, 4.5, 4.75, 5.75, and then back down to 3.5.
Chump change.
Yeah. I kind of like that curve, because that last year, They've got a little bit of breathing
room. It's negotiating time at that point.
Yeah, that keeps them signed with the Wild through 2021. As far as I know, there's no movement clause, so there's actually some flexibility there. Because even though it seems like Fletcher seems to like to hand out the no movement and no trade clauses.
Well, he's still
like
an entry-level contract right now.
Right, but this contract is not.
This one is not.
Right.
And I'm loving it. I mean, what's this kid? Is he just now 21?
He just turned 21.
Yeah. I mean, so we've got him basically.
He can barely, he's barely legal to drink.
He can barely walk, right? He barely started walking like a couple weeks ago, right? No, but I mean,
he's been skating for 21 years, right? But he just started to learn how to walk.
But I mean, honestly, we got this kid. He's already proven himself, you know, to be a quality player, and I can only see improvement, and we're heading. He's not even hit his prime yet. I mean, we're still looking a few years down the road for him to probably come into his prime, and we've shorted up through there. That said, I kind of cringe sometimes at the longer contracts, though it seems like that's kind of how things are starting. They're tending to go that way now.
Less,
you know,
money per year and longer deals to make sure you're getting paid.
Well, that you have to think that maybe certain types of contracts are a little bit easier to stomach, and certain types of players are a little more projectable. Goalies, we've seen it before where goalies get a big contract and then just totally crap it out.
Flop. That's one position that I would not sign a big contract to.
I think we're kind of seeing that with Backstrom.
Absolutely.
And that was only a 3-year contract that we signed with him.
And now we don't know what to do with him.
Whereas a defensive defenseman, I won't say he's offensive because he's, I mean, he'll get points, but he's not, you know.
He's definitely a defensive defenseman, but he's also still coming into his own too, so who knows what's going to happen with him.
Right. But so you got to figure maybe that style of play is just a little more projectable. It's really we're getting a guy to be paired with Ryan Suter for the next 6 years.
He's a 21-year-old playing on the top line in a team that is slated to go to the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Don't get too excited and don't get too far ahead of us with the Stanley Cup playoffs. Let's get through the first 5 games. We haven't even we've only got 2 games here.
We're going 82 and zip, baby.
We got this.
And you've already made note, like, I think 5 times that
Kenny's already planning the parade route here.
You know, I got one of the few opportunities to actually be an optimist instead of a pessimist, and you guys are bringing me down.
Hey, it's all right to get excited, but, you know, you got to be realistic. I mean, there's tons of teams out there that can contend for the
absolutely.
For the cup, and it's a long road home. So
long way to the
top. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'll be cheering right with you the whole way, but let's not jump the gun yet. We're only 2 games into this young season.
Yeah, but we're undefeated.
That's true.
For now. It sounds like everyone's pretty optimistic about this.
I think so. I mean, because I think that basically shores up his contract to almost coincide with when Suter's contract is up.
Right.
That's when we become fans of another team.
Colorado,
there we go. I have to confess this. I own not one, but 2 Avalanche jerseys.
Well, that's all right. You got those when we didn't have a team.
I did.
So
I do believe that I do deserve a pardon because I purchased them when we didn't have hockey.
That was all right.
You know, but now they're going to be if they do end up being like our rivals, what do I do with those? Do I have to go burn them?
We got this thing called Man Weekend. We tend to make massive fires.
We need to burn things.
We'll burn Patrick Waugh and effigy.
Wait, is one of those a Waugh sweater?
No.
Okay. I was going to say if it's a Waugh sweater.
Is it a Flopsburg?
No. If it would have been one, it would have been Sakic, but it's unnumbered, actually.
Unnumbered? So. All right. Well, okay. You can get away with it. However, you know what's really kind of funny about Colorado is a lot of people don't realize that there's a Colorado Rockies before the Rockies, the baseball team.
Right.
And that they had a hockey team previous to the Avs that moved to New Jersey.
Right. Became the Devils.
They became the Devils. And when you talk to people in Colorado about that, they're like, what are you talking about? You're insane. Like, you know.
Well, I would bet a lot of people in Twin Cities here wouldn't know about the Fighting Saints either, though.
This is true.
You know, so.
Even though you're starting to see their merchandise pop up more often.
Because it's
though.
A badass logo.
Absolutely. You got the angel with the.
Like a devil angel.
Devil angel with a hockey stick. Oh, dude, it's beautiful. You know, and that's. I had a guy was giving me crap down in Kansas City this past weekend about wearing my Wild hoodie. And he goes, you know, I was going to get you a beer, but you got that Wild hoodie on. I was like, yeah? How's your Kansas City team doing? Oh, wait, the North Stars took them back in the 70s. Never mind. It kind of shut them up pretty quick. But that's the whole route with the Colorado moving to.
Right.
Anyways, we sidetracked. I'm sorry.
Hey. We're all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're welcome to derail at any time.
And we're prone to it.
Yep. So getting back, though, I think the Brodin signing is actually a good signing. I like it. Too many years, maybe not. I think it's just about right. So we have a solid top defensive pair we don't have to worry about for a few years.
Worry all about cap space? I mean, we got a lot of other guys, a lot of other kids coming up. You know, you got Granlund, Coyle, Halla, Scandella, Follin. They've all got...
Those are all names that I would love to keep on this team. I don't think that we'll be able to keep all those names, honestly, because it's still a business. That's the unfortunate part.
It is
part.
Still a business.
I think the one thing that might help is that if the Wild can go deep...
Success,
because yep. That might make you want to take a discount because...
You're on a team that you're going to be getting bonuses. Because, I mean, right. These guys don't get their normal salary in the playoffs. It's all bonus money at that point, depending right. on how deep you make it into the
no,
playoffs.
No, because then the government's taking half, man. Wow. They're you get a bonus, and they take the first 50%.
If you're making millions of dollars,
they're
you know,
taking
and
half
you're worrying
anyways.
About taxes, screw you.
Yeah, they're already taking half. But, I mean, this is bonus money for these kids, yeah. and it's also pride. I mean, because nobody's yeah. in the league just to play and make money. They're in the league to actually win the cup and get their name on Lord Stanley's Cup.
Right. Well, and I think that, you know, I have faith that Fletcher will be wise and not overspend on one player. So if one player wants to play hardball, I have a feeling...
He's going to tell him to piss off.
Yeah, you know, kind of like Stoner, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, you get more money with Anaheim? Have at it.
Yeah, see ya.
You know, we just signed Brodin to a contract that's about the same cost as you.
And he's a top line.
And he's top line.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and you know, you got to also remember that some of these older guys, their contracts are going to be coming up here shortly, too. Backstrom being a big one.
Backstrom, you've got Brodziak that's coming off. Ballard will be coming off.
And we already know they tried getting rid of Brodziak, and nobody wanted to pick him up for what his contract right. was.
And you know that they tried to get rid of Backstrom. They probably tried to move Ballard as well. They probably tried moving just about all the
senior guys.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a very, very young team right now.
Yeah.
And with a lot of talent
it's
on
not,
it, though.
Not a bad spot to be in.
Absolutely not. And, I mean, I think I'm not going to worry too much. I think they're going to keep Granlund, and I think they're going to keep Halla. Well, Halla might be trade bait at some point. But I think Granlund, I mean, being a top-line center right now, they're not going to let him go. Coyle might stick around. They may end up moving him at some point if they can get something decent. Follin, we'll see how he ends up playing out this season. Scandella, I'm hit or miss with Scandella. I mean, I really am. So, anybody else want to comment on that?
No, I think you covered the gamut there. Give this guy a little bit of whining. Jesus, listen to him. No, man. Wow.
So yeah, no more beer for me. Just give me a bottle right. of red and a bottle of Prosecco, and I'm golden.
Oh, he never shuts up.
So speaking of people moving up and down, Stu Bickle was put on waivers this past week. He ended up clearing waivers and got assigned to Iowa. So because of this clears up room for Fontaine.
Woo-hoo! That's a train horn. If you didn't know.
Well, that's whistle tips, but we're going with train horn today.
Yeah, yeah.
So it clears up room for him to come back. It sounds like he's going to... It sounds like he's going to make his season debut Friday against Anaheim, playing on the second line with Koivu and Vanek. So is the Fon train going to be help on that line, or is it the... Or is it just wishful thinking?
Did they say he's going to be on the second line?
That's what it looks like, is that he was getting, for all the practices, he's being paired with Koivu and Vanek.
I think so. I mean, I know we talked about this last week because Cook was on that line with them. And
for the first game only, though.
Well, and part of the second game.
And then he got moved down to the fourth.
So you have to figure that there was going to be a change coming. Does Fontaine make that line better? I don't know. I have a feeling we're going to see lines juggling all the time.
That's the Yo system.
I think so, but I actually think that top line right now is solid.
The Palmers.
Palmers, pomegranate
line.
Right.
The pomegranate, yes. that line will be the one consistency, I think, for the Wild.
I mean, even if they're not taking the opening faceoffs, that's our top line. Let's not kid anyone. I mean, all due respect to Koivu.
Opening faceoffs don't mean jack, though. Right.
So you mentioned a name there, Koivu. This is what, I don't know, this might just be my opinion. It probably is just my opinion. But I honestly think that
we're not here for facts, we're here for all opinions.
He is the bad link that, like, I honestly think that he drags, he can drag a line down. He performs like an average.
He's one of the few guys from the Lemaire days that's left.
Right.
That's fact number one.
He's just not elite. I mean, it's not what he is.
Well,
at least
that's
not
why he's
mind.
Not top line anymore, and where Granlund stepped up and took over that position.
Well, and I think he's more of, he's a defensive offenseman. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
He can, and he's never going to be a scorer.
Right.
He's more than happy to dish it out, and that's where he's going to get most of his points, is an assist.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe being paired with Vanek is, in the long run, is a great thing for him, because it gives him someone to pass the puck to.
Well, and I think last season when it was the top line was Koivu and Coyle and Parisi, I think Koivu and Coyle actually connected pretty decently. So I think putting Coyle on that second line with him again, with the addition of Vanek, I think might actually be a pretty damn solid second line.
But I think the thing is, Yo is sticking with Coyle as being a center, and I don't know if...
No, it sounded like he was going to go as wing.
Okay. That's a part of the problem also, is we got too many damn centers on this team.
Yeah, too many damn centers and not very good ones, though.
Right. I mean, I think Granlund does pretty well, and Koivu actually.
Koivu does well in the faceoff. I think Hall is a decent center. Hall has got the speed to be a center where he can play offense and defense.
Sounds like you guys want Konopka back?
Only for the faceoffs in
face punching
zone, and yeah.
The faceoffs and face punching.
Face off.
Right.
We need video.
Yeah, he's missing the visual of Kenny lifting his face off.
Right. A regular Nicolas Cage.
Except for
John
not
Travolta.
As
or is that John Travolta's role?
Well, it's both.
Or was it?
Or who was
Ooh,
it?
Who was that? God,
wow.
Nick Travolta?
Well, you know, I look at like Brodziak. That's another thing, is we got Brodziak. He's another center.
He's a very high-paid fourth liner.
He is. But he also plays PK, and I think in a general sense, he plays pretty well. I felt that, you know, the first two games playing with Carter, he played really well, actually, with him.
So was that because of Carter, though, or was that because of Brodziak?
I think I think it's something about them being paired together.
Compliment each other.
Just the chemistry between the two?
Because it seemed like, you know, last couple of years, you'd see Brodziak just way out of spot, making just weird plays.
You know, that actually brings up a very valid point, though, Aaron, is the fact that Brodziak was kind of the redheaded stepchild that got bounced around to whatever line they could throw him at, and I don't think he actually developed chemistry with any player. Yeah. Maybe that was part of his issue.
Got to find a home.
You know, and if that works on the fourth line with Carter as one of his wings, I mean, by all means, go for it.
And we signed him because we needed talent on a crummy team. He was brought in to be like a second liner, but he's on a championship team.
He's not a second liner.
He's not a second liner.
Not for a championship team.
A PK unit guy, you know, bottom two lines. You know, is basically
we could send him to Buffalo and he could play his second first line.
You bring up a very good point here, though. I remember in years past us talking about like the Wild matchups against the Blackhawks, and we would talk about how deep the Blackhawks were. Like, you got their first line, then you got their second line, even their third and fourth lines. You know. And I think that we're actually coming into that.
We are getting to that point right now. And it's a beautiful thing. Like,
wow, yes.
Well, and if you look, the thing I've really been happy with is that Yo is not just blindly sticking to veterans.
No.
Ballard hasn't started a game yet.
Well, he was also injured,
supposedly. Right. You know, Bickle didn't play a single game. I like the fact that he's just, you know, playing the kids who are playing well.
You know what? He's gonna, and Yo's kind of been known, I mean, obviously with the goalies, he plays the hot hand. Mm-hmm. He's gonna play the guys that are actually doing well and not just because, hey, you're making this much money and you think you deserve to be on this line. That's not gonna happen. I think the Wild do have one of the youngest teams right now in the NHL also. I mean, there's a lot of young guys. We got a lot of people on entry level contracts.
Right.
And it's great because, I mean, it's young talent, you know, and being that they are young, some of these kids, players don't necessarily know how to match up against them because they haven't seen them for,
you know,
years.
And maybe we're developing our own, you know, Blackhawks where the kids are coming up together, talented kids are coming up together, and they're getting a chance to play like real minutes together.
Yeah, absolutely.
They know how to play as a team. Yeah.
Well, that's when Detroit went on their tangent with the multiple cups in years past.
When it was just
the scouting, and they ended up picking up the young players that were developing. I mean, when they got Datsyuk at a young age, I mean, look at where he's at now.
Right.
You know, and
or Zetterberg, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think the Wild might actually be at that position.
Or
where
Yzerman. Oh, wait, sorry.
Well, that they can bring in talent to supplement, you know. They might need like third and fourth liner guys.
Oh, absolutely.
But they can get quality third and fourth liner guys.
Exactly.
You know, because those are going to be guys that also, they want to win something. They don't want to, you know, and they might be willing to take, they might be a second liner in Buffalo. But
they'll take the league minimum just to come be on a championship team.
Right.
You know, and well, and that's just it. When you got your top line, your top two lines where, you know, some of the guys are still under $1 million a year on their contracts this year.
Yeah.
That says something about the scouting and the quality of talent that they're bringing into this organization now.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. If you build it, they will come.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think it's great. Risenborough wouldn't have built this team this way. You know, it's Fletcher. This is now Fletcher's tenure. This is Fletcher's team that he's built up, with the exception of a few guys that have been staples. And, you know, I have heard from people that had worked with Risenborough that the guy was an ass. And that, I think that's part of the problem. I think that was part of the issue with Gabrick leaving, too.
I think it was a perfect storm, and we were coming out of expansion club days
to an actual NHL team now.
Right. Yeah.
So
I know we don't have anything on this in our lineup here, but I did want to mention it and just get a quick idea of what you guys think. Have you guys heard anything about the new scoreboard at the X?
I heard it's massive.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too. I mean, I've heard you know, like the pictures that we've seen and stuff like that don't do it any justice. Like, you have to see the thing in person. But
And they did this for game two in Colorado, they had a viewing.
Oh yeah, they played it there.
I was for the fans. So tempted to go, but
basically, yeah.
I was committed to live tweeting, and it's so hard. I know me and Kenny.
You can't do it when you're actually at the X. It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
No, you only got so many hands to hold your beers, right?
right.
Yeah, the viewing party would have been great. From what I've been told, is it almost sounds like it expands from blue line to blue line.
Yeah, it's huge.
And they also redid the video around the arena, too.
Yeah?
So all the video at the X is brand new this year.
Nice. All new, high def.
High def and big.
Yep.
So, humongous big.
Sorry.
We need a humongous big goalie, though. We need Briz back. So, all right. Well, coming up this week, it's another... I guess short week for the Wild as far as what we get to talk about. Only two more games coming up Friday and Sunday. Friday they're in Anaheim, which they had already left for Cali today, Tuesday. And then Sunday they play the Kings at a 2 p.m. game, so mid-afternoon game.
Yeah. No, they're definitely not going to be getting any overtime pay.
No.
even if they go to overtime, we're not paying them.
Speaking of leaving early, though, I guess I was reading Russo, and he was talking about their practice the other day, and they basically did like a NHL-style pond hockey, like three-on-three, set the goals apart just outside of the blue lines.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, they were having fun. Kind of keeping
scrimmage
it,
practice.
You know, with 5 days off, keeping it kind of loose and just, you know, enjoying themselves, but still staying in form at the same same time.
Right.
So...
So with the games, we got the game of the week.
All right. You taking this one or am I taking this one?
I'll take it.
All right, you go ahead.
So last week, game of the week was Avalanche at the Wild. That would have been the first one, game one. We all picked the Wild, so we all get points for that.
Woo-hoo! No fun train, though.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, but Jive was the big winner because he picked the total amount of goals. Woo-hoo! So Jive is now in first place with 2 points. Me and Kenny both have a point. And since I picked last week's game, and me and Kenny are tied for last, I'll let Kenny have this week's pick.
So this week I decided to go with the second game against the Kings on Sunday afternoon, and I'm going with the Wild winning total goals of 6.
Fair enough. You want to pick next?
Yeah. Right. I too went with the Wild. I went with fewer goals. I went with 5 total goals. You know, looking back in the Yo era, the Wild are 3-2 in LA, so I figured they got a pretty good shot of winning. It's a little better than 500.
And as we said, LA is not looking like the same team as a championship team.
And you know, it's always safe going with 5 goals. So.
And. I'm going to have to go and sway the other way. I'm going to have to go with the Kings. Not that I'm not cheering for our Wild. You know, hey, if the Wild pull one off, I win either way then. But
how many points, Jive?
I'm thinking that the Kings are going to take it. It will be a close game, though, probably. I'm guessing around 7 goals, probably just one goal difference.
You're thinking like a 4-3 game?
Yeah, like a 4-3 game. It's going to be close, but... I think in the end, the home team here is going to prevail.
I got to say, so last week's game with the Avs at the Wild, our home opener, our season opener. I know, Aaron, you and I both picked 6 goals. Jai picked 5. I think we're each kind of planning. I think, Aaron, I think me and you were on the same page with like a 4-2 game.
Yeah.
And I think Jai was thinking a 3-2. Anybody have any idea that it was going to be a 5-0 blowout?
I definitely did not see that coming.
There's no way in hell I saw that coming.
I knew that my gut told me that it was going to be a blowout game. It's their home opener. They've always done really well.
But not that well.
Oh, God, they came out just on fire. Yeah. It was a beautiful sight.
A clinic.
It was. It literally looked like they were playing an exhibition game against the Iowa Wild.
Yes. So there you have it. Me and Kenny taking the Wild, Jive taking the Kings. We're kind of running the gamut on total goals.
We're all close.
Yeah, we're all close. But with that, I think we've
probably come to about the end of our podcast here.
I think so.
I'm done talking to you guys.
I'm not done talking to the people though, so I might ramble on for another hour.
Oh boy.
I got about 2/3 of a bottle left, so I've got some time.
Look at that. You're already hearing double, Kenny.
What? So I'm not. I'm seeing single, but I'm hearing double.
Wow, you're orally drunk. Well, when I'm not live tweeting wild games for Three in the Box, that's at Three in the Box on Twitter. You can find me also on Twitter at AaronGNP, but I don't post there very often. But when I do, it might be okay, or it might be just dumbness. Aside from that, you can check out our band. We are Pinrot, and you can find us at pinrot.com. Kenny?
Yeah, so you can also follow me at RottenK999 on Twitter, mainly posting audio stuff because I'm kind of nerdy that way. Pro audio and not recording live. But, yeah, Jive?
Yeah, and you can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. Yeah, otherwise, you know, you can always catch me hanging out with these guys. Every once in a while, I'll come in with something witty to say, but you never know. But, yeah, I think that's about it.
That's a wrap.
All right, everybody have a good night.